got it all. He's got it all in his control. He's got it all in control. How many believe that tonight? Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. If he didn't have it all in control, he wouldn't be God. But our God is God. Hallelujah. He doesn't make empty promises. He doesn't try to entice you as Satan does to try to get your worship and then come up with empty promises. He's exactly what he says he is, and he does what he said he will do, and he has it all in control. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you tonight. Nice to be back together once again. We started a thought last, I think it's been about a month ago now, and I thought we would get right back on it, but took a little detour, but now I'd like to bring part two to eternal life is living for others. I'd like to start by opening in our scripture to Matthew, the 25th chapter, starting at the 31st verse. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from goats. Now recall, these are not sheep and goats, but he's dividing them as a shepherd would separate sheep from goats. There's those that are going to be given life, and there's those that are going to be sent somewhere else. And, of course, the bride is present with him at this time. This is the second resurrection. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand. Now, the sheep are actually those that are redeemed. He shall set the sheep, but remember, this is a parable. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me meat. And I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee anhungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren. So you notice here, these are not brethren, but they're doing it unto the brethren, the sons and daughters of God. And they will be rewarded for it. Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of these, the least of these, you did it not unto me. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. How many would like to be remembered tonight? Father, as we bow our heads to the dust of the earth, Lord, and as we approach you with lowliness and of heart and with meekness, Lord, and we just ask that you would minister to each and every one according to their need tonight. And Lord, that you would be pleased with our efforts. We love you and we want to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. And we want our lives to worship you when we step out these doors tonight, Lord. Wherever we go, we want our lives to testify to the fact that you are alive, that you're arisen, and that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that you're exactly who and what you say that you are. Lord, I pray that your blessings would be upon each and every one, those that are listening in tonight and those that will listen in. And Father, we surely will give you praise and honor and glory. Now, Lord, you see the hands that were raised tonight. We pray that you'd meet every need. There's an expectation here in the building because we know that you're here. We have that promise. We have that assurance. We sense your presence. But Lord, if we had no senses at all, we'd still believe that you're here because you said that you would be. And Lord, you've never, ever told a lie. We can take whatever you say and rest our eternal souls, or rest our souls on it throughout eternity. And so we love you and we thank you now. And we just ask that you'd receive all honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. I'd like to read a statement that we read. It's been a month, so I'd like to read it again. From the message that day on Calvary, Brother Branham says, he was just one man. The perfect man. He gave his life and he made an example for you. Now, what must we do? Now, the first thing I want to say is Jesus never lived for himself. His life was spent for others. Can you imagine if he decided, you know, I must be about my Father's business, but I think I'll go to Disneyland instead. Oh, you know, I'm supposed to go die on the cross this morning, but, you know, I've got a camping trip planned. Now, he could have done those things, and you understand, friends, we all need a break, and we'll get into that here in just a moment. We all need time away, but we don't need time away when it interferes with the Father's business. Now, what must we do? Now, the first thing I want to say is Jesus never lived for himself. His life was spent for others. That's perfectly eternal life. Spending your life for others. That is eternal life. That's perfectly eternal life. When you say you go to church and you do good things, well, that's fine. But when you live your life to yourself, you haven't eternal life. Because eternal life won't live for itself. Eternal life is living for others. It proved it when it came to the Lamb of God. He lived and had eternal life because he did not live for himself. He lived for others. Now, this is not something that you try to do. This is something that you do. Actually, it's not something that you do. Eternal life will live for others. So if that eternal life is in you, it will live for others. And you receive eternal life by receiving that day. And you don't live for yourself no more. That day on Calvary, of course. You live for others. Someone said, well, how can you stand and let anybody call you such bad names? You don't live for yourself. You live for others that you might redeem that man. You become sons. And the trouble of it is, the church has forgot that they were sons. You are sons. You're taking Christ's place. You are sons. So don't live for yourself. Live for others. Well, Brother Branham, I can live for this brother because he sure is a nice man. He says, that's not it. Live for the man who hates you. Live for that person who'd kill you if they could. That's what they done to him. They killed him. And he died that he might save them. That's eternal life. When you get that's in your bosom, you're facing heaven then. But you sacrifice your own things, give them up like the sheep gives its wool. You look on towards Calvary. I hope this helps you to get in a place. That's what the tabernacle, that's what all people has got to do, is find out what you are and what's the purpose. Church isn't going to church just to play music, to sing songs. Church is a place where correction, judgment begins at the house of God. We must reckon ourselves dead and alive to Christ. Then he made the way that we could sacrifice ourselves to his service to follow him. So you say, well, I can't do it. Well, he made a way for you to do it. If we follow him, we lead the life that he led. That's wonderful. Jesus said and spoke of it. How many believes that tonight?
Amen.
Amen. So when you think about it, friends, our Heavenly Father, his whole focus is on others. You know, he could have been selfish. I hate to even say that because it sounds sacrilegious. And God forgive me. There's no selfishness in him. It's his enemy that's selfish. But you know, he could have just remained by himself and figured out ways to entertain himself and, do what pleased him. And actually, he is doing what pleases him, and it's living for others. Everything that he does is for others. Think about it. And we know that in his condescension, coming down to become one of us, his is a life that is characterized by service to others. He became flesh. He walked among us. He had a human will, just as every other human being does. And yet he surrendered his will and instead sought only to do the will of his Father, eternal God, Spirit God. And he is the ultimate example to us of what eternal life actually looks like when it's being lived out. So you want to know what it looks like? That's it. It's living for others. Not living for others because you're looking for something in return, but living for others because that's what's in you. It's a life of service to others. And a person living that kind of a life is blessed. And those that spend their lives seeking pleasure for themselves and seeking personal gain for themselves, they are some of the most miserable people that you will ever meet in your entire life. The more they seek to satisfy human and selfish desires, the less fulfilled they become. And they end up becoming completely focused on self and the desires of the self, regardless of what the effects that their lives may have on others along the way. Relationships for them are measured by what's in it for me. What is that person doing to make me happy? Is that person making me happy? If not, then I don't want that relationship. What is that person doing to further my self-interests? What is that person doing to help me achieve my goals in life? That's what they would define as a quote-unquote friend. And the longer they live that way, the more selfish and the more self-absorbed that they become, often to the point that they are no longer even aware of the needs of others. It's not even a thought. It's not even something that crosses their minds. And they if they go down this path long enough, they lose their ability to empathize for others, to feel for them, to even be aware of what that other people have feelings, to be moved with compassion for them. In fact, they look upon that as some form of a weakness. And of course, to love them because they are void of love. The only love that they have is self-love, and that's satanic. So in the extreme case, self-love is all they know, just like their father, Lucifer. And they manipulate others shamelessly in their attempts to get others to do things for them. They play the martyr. That's one of their main acts. They'll play the martyr and they'll get others to do things for them because they feel sorry for them and they genuinely believe their stories of martyrdom. But they're always made up, one-sided. Certainly there's a sliver of truth to it, but after all I've done for people. Yeah, with other people's money. They end up as very lonely individuals, and they die with few, if any, real friends. We're talking about the person that just lives for themselves. They die with few, if any, real friends, though some may have been known by many more people than your average person will ever know or be known by in their entire life. Some might have great big funerals, but those attending the funeral will struggle to say something positive about them. And few will mourn their passing. They won't mourn it from their heart. And they will struggle to come up with examples of what this person did for others. Though they may have seemed to do things for others, when it was convenient and it fulfilled their selfish desire or gave them a tax incentive, or the part involved spending other people's money, others will end up passing without others of the same category will end up passing without a ceremony and with hardly a soul even noticing their passing. Maybe no funeral, no service. Maybe they're buried in a potter's field. Maybe they're thrown into the ground somewhere and there's no name put on a marker. When their lives are over, this is the worst part of the story. When their lives are over, it's over. That's it. Was it worth it? That's all she wrote. End of story. Fini. Finish. All done. There was no eternal life associated with that life that was lived for the sake of itself. Jesus said, What profiteth you that you gain the whole world and lose your soul? And life will not be extended on that day, on the great white throne judgment. It will not be extended to that individual, but instead, away from me. Go with the goats. Go to the place that was created for Satan and his angels. So we see quite a contrast. I mean, they're not even similar. They're not even close. One can't be mistaken for the other. If you don't have that life, you can't manufacture it, and you can't even truly imitate it. Eternal life is a life of service for others. That's what it is. When that life is lived out, that's the kind of life that it produces. But contrary to what others that are selfish-minded might say, it's actually the most fulfilling kind of a life that there is in every way. Now, that's not to say that there won't be trials. We've been promised trials. And we've been told that these trials are for our good. That they're forming things, that our character's being formed. We're learning things about God. We're learning to trust God. It's taking things out of our lives. It's bringing things into our lives. So there will be trials. And there will be suffering along the way. It's just promised. And that's not to say that there won't be times when you feel pressed to the point where you feel like throwing in the towel and heading off to some remote island somewhere, some paradise remote island, of course, not one where you're going to have to work real hard because you need a break. But if you were actually to do that, you couldn't stay there and just sit around and be, well, you could do it for a few days for sure, but you couldn't stay there and just sit around and be waited on by others for the rest of your days, because eternal life won't do that. And you wouldn't be happy. You wouldn't be satisfied. You wouldn't be fulfilled. So a life of service involves constantly giving. And one can only give so much until they have to stop and get recharged as human beings. Our spirits are willing, but our flesh is weak. So there are limitations to how much we can do. Is that right? And we all have to learn where those limits are and how to pace ourselves and how to recognize that we need to stop and we need to recharge. And if we go past that line, of course, we'll learn. But when we go past that line, we're actually no good to others or even to ourselves. And some of us have to have somebody intervene on our behalf in order for us to take a break, because we'll just drive ourselves into the ground. As the example that we had of when Brother Branham was driving himself so hard, and he'd end up out in the middle of a field at night, sleeping in his car, and he'd wake up and be laying his hand on cabbages, thinking they were heads, and I, you know, in Jesus' name, and still praying for the sick, because he'd had those 24-hour prayer lines that would just never end. And he didn't have anybody to protect him at that time, and he didn't know where his limits were, but he found it. So much, actually, when we think about living for others, we're always thinking about works, right? And we know that works certainly will follow whatever it is that you claim to believe, but so much of living for others is really just a state of mind. It's thinking about others. It's putting the needs of others first in your thinking. It's being considerate of others. It's being sensitive to the needs and the feelings of others, more so than your own, which is really, friends, that really is a blessing. To get your mind off yourself, it's such a blessing. Because when you're thinking about yourself and you think about how you're offended or what did that person mean and whatever, that's just misery. But when you're thinking about other people, you could be offended and not even know it. So it's being able to put yourself into the shoes of others and to feel what they might be going through, to feel what they're feeling. And it's considering others, and it's considering how your actions or inactions affect the lives of others, and being concerned about that. It's praying for others with genuine and sincere compassion and fervor. Not selfishly, but genuine concern. It's waking up every morning determined to have a positive impact on the lives of others. And especially on those that you interact with most often. That would be your family. That would be your boss. That would be your coworkers. That would be your neighbors. That would be the fellow students, whatever it might be. So it's always wanting to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem or part of the burden, part of bearing the burden rather than putting the burden on others that they must bear. And when a child of God is fully surrendered to that eternal life that's on the inside, they aren't actually consciously trying to do things so that they will live for others. That eternal life will live for others. Let me say that again. That eternal life, if you have it, it will live for others. Because that's the kind of life it is. And the church said, amen. So they will just live for others first, because that's the kind of life that's now living in them, and that's the kind of life that's now motivating them. And they will sometimes do things that have unintended consequences on other people. But when it's pointed out to them, they're sincerely sorry, and often even mortified that it had unintended results. And they won't rest until they make it right. It's getting really, really quiet. It doesn't matter to them that it was unintentional. They don't say, well, I didn't mean to. That doesn't matter. They feel responsible for how their actions affect others, even if it's just a misunderstanding. They feel responsible, and so they won't rest until it's cleared up. And they will do whatever they can to keep the peace and to live in peace as much as it is possible with all people. Eternal life does not seek reward for living for others. It's not, if you do this, I'll do that. In the Greek, there's like five or six different kinds of love. And one type of love is called storge love. And that love is always, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But this kind of love says, if your back needs scratching, I'll scratch it. Right? My back will get scratched. Right? But if your back needs scratching, I'll do it. Amen? So, eternal life is not seeking reward. It's not seeking payment. So, therefore, it's not keeping score. Well, I bought lunch last time. Brother Joel, you should know that. Duh. I pick on him because we used to have lunch. We'd go to Little Mexico. Actually, that was in one of the restaurants we went to, right? But we also went to Little Mexico, if you know what I mean, South Tucson. And we'd try to hit some little hole-in-the-wall, really good place to eat, you know, nothing fancy in terms of atmosphere maybe or facilities, but some real good Mexican food. And, you know, we'd practically fight over who was going to pay the bill. We certainly weren't keeping track. If you were to ask me, well, did he pay more or did you pay more? It's not even a thought, right? It's you do it because it needs to be done. You do it because you want to be a blessing, right? Now, if you can't afford it, well, don't go then. But but you understand, that's where so many relationships are strained. Because that's where so many marriages don't make it. Because the marriage, the premise is, well, I've done all this for you, and you can't just do this for me. Well, that's not love. That's not eternal life. Boy, we're going to get right into it. We're going to roll up our sleeves and just, you brothers, listen to this now. Because you're going to face it one day. I've done all of this, and you can't just do that for me. Eternal life, friends, is not keeping score. Eternal life will do what needs to be done because that's what eternal life does. So we just need to get born again of the Spirit of God. And then we need to get over our complexes and just surrender to Him and let that eternal life live. Your flesh can get in the way. Your complexes can get in the way. And that's something that you have to put down. Because if you don't put the complex down, you'll lose your feeling for the people. And that was lived out in our day to give us that example. And if you lose your feeling for the people, save your prayer, because God won't answer it. If you can't feel what somebody's going through, what's the point in praying? You're not being a high priest. You're not interceding. You're not touched by the feeling of their infirmity. So, eternal life does not seek reward for living for others. Living for others is its own reward. And how many can say amen to that? It's not thankless service. It truly is rewarding. But you have to actually experience that to be able to say amen to it. I remember it wasn't always that way for me. In fact, it wasn't that way for me for, you know, several years. I remember when I was young, and I remember hearing repeatedly where, you know, Jesus said, truly, it's more blessed to give than to receive, right? And I wondered, well, how could that be? You know, I'm not looking to pay somebody lottery winnings. I want to win the lottery. Why would it be better for me to give somebody a prize than for me to receive one? No comprende. Let's read what Brother Paul had to say in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. He's actually having to defend his ministry because there are people that are turning against him. And all he's done is try to help. All he's done is trying to serve. And he's trying to tell, look, I didn't charge you. I didn't do this for my own benefit. I did it because I'm not sorry that I did it. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities. So he's saying, you know, I took care of my own needs. I didn't take anybody's money, though he could have. And to them that were with me, my own hands worked to take care of the entourage, those that are working with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And the church said? Amen. Now, can anybody tell me where Jesus said that? Is it in the Bible? Is it in the Bible? How many thinks it is? How many thinks it isn't? This is the only place you'll find it. I looked for it. Because in my mind, I thought, well, surely, I know I've read that. I have, right here. I've read where Paul told us what Jesus said. Well, how does Paul know? He wasn't even there. Well, that's it. I'm off to Buddhism. Paul's a liar. Now, we don't have a record of this saying in the four Gospels. But we do have scriptures that say the same thing, but in different words. Actually capturing the essence of this thought. So we'll look at a couple of them here for a moment. Luke 6, verse 27. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Now, why would I want to do that? Reward them for... It's because that's what they need, not what they deserve. And that's what eternal life will do. Friends, the kind of life that you have is the kind of life that you have. And we can't let other people and circumstances define who we are. I've met people in Christendom my whole life where they make excuses for why they pull away from people, why they quit helping people, why they become distrustful, why you can't even shake their hand, and they'll say things like I had my pastor tell me this: if I stopped to shake everybody's hand, I'd never make it to the car. And he just didn't want to shake anybody's hand. And I certainly know that there are circumstances where you're so wore out that, you know, you'd just be handing a piece of fish to their hand, you know. But he actually didn't want to shake other people's hands. And so he used that as an excuse. And I've met many that are rough with other people, and the people excuse him. They say, well, after all he's done, and look at how he was treated, you know, you'd be that way too. Well, if I'm mean, I'd be that way, right? Whatever happens to you doesn't make you what you are. It brings out what you are. So if you're mean and people mistreat you, guess what's going to come out? Meanness. But if Christ is in you and you get squeezed, guess what's going to come out? Christ. Because that's what's in you. You know, I have a simple analogy I've used for many, many years, but it's so, sometimes these things are just so simple that they're staring you right in the face. If you take an orange and you squeeze it, what are you going to get? Orange juice. How do you know? Well, why would you even ask that? That's a stupid question, Brother Baker. How do you know you're not going to get tomato juice? How do you know you're not going to get watermelon juice? Surprise, surprise. You know, if you'd just been nicer when you squeezed it, you would have got orange juice. But you were so rough with it that you got bitter water. You get what's in it when you squeeze it. You take a Christian and squeeze a Christian, you get what's in a Christian. Circumstances do not define you. Circumstances bring out what's in you. And the church says, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. Now, friends, you would have to have eternal life to be able to do this. Because humanly speaking, this is a tall order. And unto him that smiteth thee on the cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Hey, remember that $10 I loaned you? You're not supposed to say that. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. We hear that so much. So much of the time we hear about what other people, how you're being treated by others. Well, what about you? How are you treating others? How do people even know how you want to be treated? The only way they'll know is by how you treat them. So some, it seems like, they want you to slap them around. Because that's what they do to you. Verse 32. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them whom ye hope to receive, well, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Now, eternal life will do this. You may have to pray through to allow that eternal life to have a first place in your life and put your will into the background or lay down your complex. But this is what eternal life will do. Verse 36, but be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. That's a law. How many knows that? The word says so. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. In other words, if you're not very giving, people aren't going to give very much to you. The more giving you are, the more that comes back. Well, that's another one that doesn't make sense. How can me giving to everybody else result in me getting something back? It's a law of God. Just like what goes up must come down, it's a law of God. Just like you reap what you sow, it's a law of God. And in Luke chapter 14, then said, verse 12, then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends nor thy brethren. Now we've seen this played out in church time and time again, and it just kills me. Because this is the click stuff that we're talking about, where certain ones will only invite certain people, and they know that. And they make a big deal out of it. And if you're not part of that inner circle, you know that you weren't included. And so you spend your whole time in the church trying to figure out how to be part of that inner circle, because only the friends are invited. Shall we close? But you're not supposed to do that. Right. If eternal life is living in you, you won't do that. Right. If eternal life is living in you, you'll invite people that aren't your friends to dinner, and you'll be friendly. Man, I'm telling you, Buddhism's looking better and better. When thou makest a dinner or supper, that's so that, you know, he said dinner or supper. So if you're from the south or from the west, and, well, he didn't say supper, he said dinner. Well, he covered them both, dinner, supper. Call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, that's your family, nor thy rich neighbors. Oh, man. Lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. In other words, you scratched my back, now I'm going to scratch yours. Right? Well, what should I do then? Thank you for asking. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. That sounds exciting. This is the word of the Lord. And what will be the result of this? Thou shalt be blessed. I want the who's who and the what's what. I want everybody to know that we're the social leaders of the church. There ain't no social leader of the church. Social has nothing to do with the church. If Christ is your head, and Christ is your brother's head and your sister's head, Christ is at the center. Amen. He goes wherever he's invited, and he doesn't exclude anyone. Oh, you shouldn't say stuff like this. Oh, really? We should just let it happen and call ourselves Christians and say that it's acceptable? Jesus didn't. What's he doing right here? He's telling you, stop it. And thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot recompense thee. They can't pay you back. They can't reward you for your kindness. But thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And this takes us back to the scripture that we opened in Matthew 25. Jesus said, as you've done to these, the least in my kingdom, you did it to me. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? Here's your chance in this life to do service for your king. Just do something for somebody else. When you live for others, you're living for the Lord Jesus. And this is part of the fulfillment also of the works that I do, shall you do also. We tend to look at it and think, oh, well, you know, we're going to raise the dead and cast out this and that. How about living for others? How about serving others? Isn't that a continuation of the works that he did? So let's look at a few examples of how this has been lived out in front of us in our day. And at, you know, a few statements and possibly a few living examples that have been left for us. Keep in mind that we were once ignorant, all of us, to what love truly is and what love looks like when it's lived out. Also keep in mind that the Old Testament prophets, they prophesied about what this eternal life would look like when it came and when it was lived out in the bridegroom. But ask yourself this, what impact did those words have on the Old Testament church? Did hearing what Jesus would do, did that cause the Old Testament church to do what Jesus would do? No. The prophet said that he would open the prison doors, that he would set the captive free, that by his stripes you would be healed, that he would save you from your sins, that he would forgive, that he would return kindness with kindness, that he would go as a sheep before his shearers and would freely give up his life to save others, that he would live the life of a servant, that he would be despised and rejected, and yet he would still serve, that he would do the Father's will above all, that he would be bruised for our iniquity, that the chastisement of our peace would be upon him, that he would heal the brokenhearted, and so on and so forth. And so many things were spoken about what he would do because of the nature that was in him. Now let me ask you tonight, why didn't the Old Testament church reflect this kind of a life? Didn't they know what the word declared would be that kind of a life and what eternal life would look like when it was lived? The answer is quite simple. We need to see eternal life on display. The word manifested, that is light, and it is life. So when you see the word lived out, when you see it lived out before you, an illumination takes place inside of you, and that word is revealed to you. Now you can say, this is that. You know what that word means. because you've seen it with your own eyes. And now you're without excuse. Before, you were ignorant. You didn't know any better. But now you've seen it. Once you've actually seen a real example of that kind of life lived out, now you're accountable. You weren't accountable beforehand because you were ignorant to it. And you didn't even know what it was. But once you see it, once you taste of it, and see that it is good, now you're accountable. And the same can be said for our love, each one of us, for our love for God, right? The scripture tells us that we love him because he first loved us. But when does that love for him by us begin? If you're like me, friends, I tried to love him with all of my heart when I didn't really know him in the denominations. I tried. I wanted to love him, but how do you love something that you don't know? How do you love somebody that you've never met? You might love an idea of it, but that's not the same as loving the person of it. So when does that love for him by us begin? It begins when you see his love expressed and lived out before you and actually extended to you. Oftentimes, our first experience with that love is projected to us through somebody else that is a child of God that comes across our path. And God's love projects through that Christian believer, and something happens to us. And we say, man, I've never seen that kind of love before. This person did this, they don't want anything in return. This person gave a soft answer, and I just took their head off. I was trying to hurt them. And instead, they treated me nicely. They should have hit me. I expected it, and then I was going to hit them back. And then I'd feel justified. But I didn't get what I deserved. What is with this? So God's love projects through a Christian believer, and something happens to us. And we come face to face for the first time with the real, genuine love of God. And then we begin to hear of what love is and what his love is for us and what that love that he has for us did for us and will do for us. And then when we surrender to that love, surrender to him, we receive it, and now we know what it is. And we can no longer be without excuse. We now love him because he first loved us. Now we know what love is. Now we know how to treat others. Now we're accountable. Much has been given, much is required. Brother Branham was hunting javelina one time, and there was a prize that was going to be given that day for whoever got the largest one over that day or weekend, whatever it might have been. And Brother Branham shot a big hog, and of course, him being a hunter, he knew that it was a big one. And he was pretty much convinced that he was going to win the prize. But as he got near to where they were weighing the javelina in, they saw that there were a bunch of hunters that were gathered around this one man. And this man was just, his chest was out, and he was just so happy. He's just beaming, and he was just sure that he was the winner, and time was almost up. And if nothing larger was brought in, he was going to get the prize. And when Brother Branham saw that, he was still a little ways away, when he saw that, and he saw how happy that man was and what it meant to him, well, then he took his javelina and put it in his vehicle, and he let the other man take the prize. And he said, something on the order of, let the other man have it. If there's anything good to, any blessing to it, let the other guy have it, right? Now, friends, eternal life will do that, right? And it's not living the life of a monk. It's not living the life of deprived. You can't outgive God. You give, and it'll return unto you. It'll be tamped down, running over. You'll be blessed. So what's it to you? The Lord is your portion, right? I heard a couple of amens over here. Is the Lord your portion? Okay. All right. I just want to, for the remainder of our time, I'd just like to read some statements from the Message, if you don't mind. From the Message, Life. Brother Bram says, now, that's the way I've tried to stay. Little. I don't have nothing. We got some books, but they don't belong to me. They belong to Brother Gordon Lindsay. That was the book, Man Sent from God. We just buy them on 40% that we can, and I have to give the men money to get back home on, since they come up the West Coast with these books. And many of them got ruined, and give them to people, anybody that wants them. They ain't got any money. Why? They can have them anyhow. You know, I've requested several times early on. I was going to college, and, you know, our grocery budget was $40 a week, and that included baby formula and diapers and whatever. And so we were counting pennies, and I would just literally inhaling this message. I was just feasting on it, and I just couldn't wait to get another box of tapes. And I asked, you know, is there any way I can get this? Well, you know, if you pay $40 a box, you know, just like everybody else. And well, that's not the example that was, you know, if you couldn't afford it, we'll make a way to get it to you. I mean, that'd be like me saying tonight, you don't have a Bible? Well, it's $50. You don't have one? We'll sell you one. You don't have one? Well, too bad. That's not the example we were given. Listen to what he said. They can have them anyhow. See? So I've tried to shun money. I never took an offering in my life. Now, it's not to say offerings weren't taken up for him, but he never did. And I thought, what would I do if I had to sponsor something big? I couldn't do it. Just, I couldn't do it, that's all. So the great infinite God knew that. So what little I have got that he has given me, I'm trying to share it with you, brothers. See, you are the church. And may we all just stay one. And just stay together as brothers. And let's share what we got with each other. Isn't that what the early church did? That way, we're in a great battle, and we're battling sin, not one another. If we're going to fight one another, then Satan can just sit back and let us fight it out. See? But let's turn our everything that we got towards the kingdom and put our shoulders one with the other, start moving upward and work for there, because I don't think we got too much longer. I think we're right at the end of the road. Maybe just because I'm getting an old man that I think that, but no, it isn't that, because I've always thought that all the time. I believe that we're at the end of the road. Let's pray and help and support. Again, from the Message, Thy Loving Kindness, he says, and when I heard David here say, thy loving kindness is better to me than life, then thinking that nothing could be any better than life, there must be another definition, or there must be two different kinds of life. And there is two kinds of life. There's life that leads to destruction, and then there's life that leads to everlasting. And this life that people think that's life, the devil has perverted the real genuine life, making you think that you're really living when you're not. He tries to make you think that to have plenty of good clothes and to own a nice automobile and to have taxes paid up on your place, that you're living, but you're not. Now, those things are not bad, but that's not a measure of whether you're really living the right kind of life or not. That's where America is deceived today. And some people think because they're having life, they're out riding and reveling around. That's not life, that's death. Some time ago in a large Canadian city, I was holding a meeting, and when I'd come from the great arena with a lovely meeting that night, and I was in this great hotel. I don't know whether it have anything like it in the States. And I was going up on the elevator, and I noticed whiskey bottles laying in the elevator. And also that afternoon, there had been a great bunch of Americans come up there. An organization, a society, a lodge, was having their annual get-together. There was about 500 or 600 Americans there, and they were really having a time. Well, when I got off the elevator, all down to each floor when you would pass, you'd hear the hollering and the screaming and the dancing, and they thought they were having a good time. But that kind of life leads to a place to where a man wants to get rid of that type of life. They take a pistol and blow their brains out. So David couldn't have been speaking about that kind of a life. It gets so miserable until people jump off bridges. They take poison to end that life. So David could not be speaking about that type of life. Remember the Great Depression? Remember how people jumped out of windows, jumped out of buildings, and committed suicide because they lost so much? Well, those of us that don't have much, we wouldn't have. First of all, if I jumped out my window, I'd fall 3 feet. Well, that didn't work out so well. Second of all, I don't have that much to lose, right? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's my provider. Our trust is in Him. That's not to say that we don't try to use wisdom to prepare for, eventualities in our life, but whether it's there or whether it isn't, the Lord is our portion. Again, from Brother Branham talking about his new ministry in 1959, he says, well, now, it's all been wonderful, especially these 30 years that I've served my Lord. If there's any regrets that I have of the past and the years that's passed, is because I didn't spend the other 20 serving Him. I'm so happy to be a Christian these years, and I'm trusting God to help me as I journey on down the lanes of life, that God will lead me by His Spirit and let me do something to show my appreciation of the cause that I was born on earth for. This morning, before I gotten up, I was talking to the wife, and I said, honey, don't seem possible I could be that old. And I said, it just looks like the years has slipped by so quick. But I said, I was born in this world for some purpose, and I believe that's to serve the Lord. And that's my heart's desire. What I would ask of you would be a prayer for me before you lay down tonight, that God would keep me humble in my heart and would help me and bless me so that I could be a blessing to you people. I found out that the greatest blessing in life is giving something out, not receiving it, but giving out. What you do for others, what means so much. And the church says, amen. Again, he says, sometimes I feel like a runaway slave. When Paul found him, he wrote back to his master and he said, put all that he owes you, put it upon my bill, and I'll pay you when I come. When I think of that, I think of Paul there, that great Christian, how that his heart knew that there was a great charge against him, and Christ, by his own blood, wrote his pardon at the cross and took his place. Yeah. And he knowed how to feel for other people. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all had that feeling this afternoon? Just take their fault and lay it upon me. Friends, I believe with all of my heart, because eternal life will only live one way. I believe with all of my heart that we'll get to the place where we're so secure, we're mature, we've laid our complexes down, we've got ourselves out of the way, we're overcoming this, and this is what's getting in the way. We overcome this and we get to the point where we genuinely, sincerely, somebody will do something and treat you badly, and you'll get on your knees and you'll take it to the Lord and say, Lord, don't hold that against that person. Lord, that's nothing. They didn't mean it. Right? They didn't mean it. Forgive them, Lord. Listen to this. Would you come near, lady? If you would, I believe that you and I are strangers. I don't remember you. If I've ever seen you, it's been somewhere in life that I do not remember. But you come to be made well, aren't you, sister? And I perceive right away that you're a Christian woman. You're a charitable sort of person. You have a heart that you like to give and to do things good for other people. How'd you like a prophet to say that about you? Say, you're a businesswoman, aren't you? Aren't you in some sort of a business? That's right, you are. I believe you're in the clothing business. Isn't that right? Is that true? See? Yes. Yes, ma'am. And you, why, say, you've even sent me clothes, lady. Now, she didn't tell him that. She didn't let the left hand know what the right hand was doing. She didn't send it with a note, hey, you know, say a good word for me. I just gave you some samples. You've even sent me clothes, lady. You've given me clothes, have you? You have. And you're suffering with kind of headaches and everything, and you have a funny, odd feeling. You've been fasting for the last few days, haven't you? Uh-huh. You haven't had that feeling since you've been fasting because it's been better. Is that right? Is that true? You've had an operation too, haven't you? That's right, uh-huh. And now, you believed always, if I lay hands on you and ask God that that would leave you. When those feelings hit you, you have funny feelings. Feel like it's pulling you and shoving you forward, is that right? Come here, sister, this will confirm you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, bless this woman who I bless. You said, whatsoever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. Almighty God, knowing that this evil spirit has left the woman through the fast, may it stay away from her now in the name of Jesus Christ. May she go and be made well. Amen. God bless you, sister. Go rejoicing, be happy, and being well. Let's say praise the Lord, everybody. Here she's got a great need. But she's a Christian. She's living for other people. She's not saying, Lord, if you do this, then I'll do something nice for other people. She's despite her own needs. But look at how God confirms his word. Look at how God met her need. Again, he's speaking about Florence Nightingale. Recall that Florence Nightingale was actually dying of cancer, and that she was so thin, I forget, you know, 40, 50 pounds, something like that. I mean, she was just, there's a picture of it in Prophet Visits South Africa, where actually that picture, she wasn't wearing any clothing, but they in that book, they actually place something in the picture across her so that it wasn't indecent, but you can tell she's just bones. Just there's no muscle on her legs, and she'd been praying and asking for Brother Branham to come and pray for her, and she's going for a long period of time. She's dying, but she's. She's calling on the Lord and wanting to be healed. So he talks about when he went to, the Lord gave him the nod to go just make a short stop and pray for her. He says, about 10 people were present to watch it. And I noticed all the ministers stopped praying, everyone. When I said, amen, the little fella took his flight back out into the bushes. So there was a dove that came and flew in, and then the little dove flew away. He says, well, I raised up, of course, and was weeping a little, all of us. And the ministers begin to say, did you notice that dove? And I started to ask if it was just a pet dove, and I had no more that I could say and knowed no more what I was going to say. But all of a sudden, something burst through and said, thus saith the Lord, she'll live and not die. She weighs 150 pounds now in perfect health. That opened the way to Africa and started a revival. In Finland, we was coming off the mountain that day, and I'd been fasting for several days. A brother says, just a few weeks ago, I saw a letter from that woman. She was well and helping, working hard for other folks. She's living her life for others. But look at how God took care of her. Miss Florence Nightingale, less than 6 months, she was well. Gained her weight. I've got her picture. It's in the book. We haven't got any of those books. I'm sorry. Called A Prophet Visits Africa. They're out of print now. We sold several thousand of them. Of course, we've seen that since. Again, from A Hidden Life in Christ, he says, that's where we need to be. No matter what your experience is, if it's heartaches, if it's troubles, if it's upsets, if it's this, if it's that, if it's the other, you're still walking in the light of God. You're living in the Shekinah glory, living there where Jesus, in his presence, that all things work together for good to them that love God. And you'll love him, and you're walking in that mellow, soft, sweet, humble Christian life. Wouldn't you like to walk like that, he says. There's not a person here but wants to live in there. And friends, that's where you should live. If you want to know the secrets of this life, of life, if you want to know why these things is, one day, by the grace of God, he took me in there. That's right. That's what does it. It's nothing in yourself. You don't live for yourself no more. You live for others. Amen. But you have to. The thing is, you can't be that for somebody else if you haven't received it yourself. You can try to, and you will try to, but you need to experience it yourself. You need to have it in order to be able to pour it out. Again, he says, a few days ago, I was sitting talking to my loyal little friend here in the city, a medical doctor, Sam Adair, and he said, how you doing, Bill? And I said, oh, pretty fair, I suppose, doc. I said, yourself? And he said, oh, a lot of patients. Said, I had 15 examinations this afternoon. Well, the life of a medical doctor is there's got to be a special reward for them because they really are in service for other people. I had 15 examinations this afternoon. And I said, well, that's good as long as it's just examinations and finding nothing wrong. And I said, we got to talking about back when we were boys. And I said, well, doc, I don't know just how long I'm going to be around. We're both in our 50s. And he said, that's true, Bill. And I said, but all these years, about 31 years of ministry now, I have kept my heart prepared for that hour when he comes. So it doesn't matter when he comes. Doesn't matter if the blood moons say that the Feast of the Trumpets is going to be in September or the coming of the Lord. Doesn't matter. Just be ready. I've kept my heart prepared for that hour when he comes, so it doesn't matter when he comes. So he said, that is true. And I said, the greatest thrill I have is living for others. Amen. Now, friends, this isn't at the beginning. This is at the end. Right. This is towards the end of his ministry. He's saying, I made the right choice. And he said, that's what life is. That's what makes life real. Not what you can do or accomplish for yourself, but what you can do for others. See, that's when you're really living. And if there happens to be someone among us who has never did that, try to live for someone else. Give that a try and just see how much more life holds for you when you will not live for what you can get yourself out of life, but what you can give someone else in life. And you'll find that it's more blessed than riches or anything that can be thought of. It is what you can do for someone else to make life's burdens, which life is a burden. Life in itself is a burden. And if you will make it a little lighter for someone else, You just don't know the joy unless you tried it once to do something for someone else. And the church says, I know all of you friends, I know that I'm preaching to the choir here tonight, but we need to be reminded of these things sometimes. And you know, because sometimes Satan will come along and try to paint a picture to us of this kind of life as being drudgery, and nobody appreciates me, and nobody cares, and make some kind of a complex out of it. But if we all just sat back and thought about it, this is the better way of living. And we didn't always live this way. And you can look back and see the times when you were trying to live for yourself, and you can remember how miserable you were. This is last one from Thyatira in Church Age. I know your service, Jesus said. Revelation chapter 2. He that is greatest of all is servant to all. A wise man commented on that saying. Here's what he said. Only history will prove the truth of that dictum. That man was right. All the truly great men of history have been servants. They who demanded to be served, they who oppressed, they who sought always to be at the head, have gone down in shame. Even the very rich are condemned by God when they have not used their wealth right. But look into history, and you will find that the truly great were those who served others. History can never acclaim those for whom much was done, but it will forever praise those who did much for others. Now let us apply that to ourselves. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, so we are to follow that example. See him as he bows himself over the feet of the apostles and washes their tired and dirty feet. He said, you don't know now what I am doing, but you will know hereafter. But what you see me doing, you ought also to do. He became a servant in order that God could elevate him to the highest heights. And one day in the judgment of the saints, we are going to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. It is hard to be always a servant. But those who spend and are spent for others will one day be seated with him in his throne. It will be worth it all then. Let us labor for the master. From dawn until setting sun, let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. And when all of this life is over and our work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let's stand. You know, I've feel somewhat bad because in sharing some of my first experiences with getting around people that followed the message, you know, there's a lot of misrepresentation and a lot of all show and no go. You can point fingers and say, well, they're not living like what the guy on the tape said and what have you. But we fail to broadcast all the good that we've seen. In fact, the first example that we had was real Christianity. The first church that we went to, they're real believers. In fact, that's what they called themselves, just simply the believers. Well, they were real believers. I mean, from day one, they were looking at what our needs were and were trying to make life easier for us. And life wasn't easy at that time. And sometimes it's never easy, but we saw real examples of it. And as I mentioned here earlier, once you've seen the real example, now you can't plead ignorance. Now you're accountable. Now you know how to treat somebody else, right? And if you don't do that, now it'll be held against you. It'll be held against you. You know, it's one thing to be raised a certain way and you just don't know. But once that example has been lived out before you, now it's your turn, right? Now it's your turn to do the same thing to someone else, right? And it's not a hardship. I mean, you want to do it. In fact, I believe that it's part of you experiencing it yourself and knowing how it feels, right? How I don't deserve this, and you know, and this was done for me, or this need was that was so thoughtful, and I don't even know where this came from sometimes, right? Then you think, you know what? I know how much that meant to me. Right? That act of kindness, that act of love with nothing asked for in return. And you think, man, I want to do this for other people. Right? And it's completely different than a lot of times people will do that. You'll see many examples of it, of philanthropy. But the reward is people recognizing that they did it. Well, that's the only reward that you're going to get, and it's a pretty shallow reward. It's cheap. That's a cheap reward. The great reward is to not let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. To do it and with no thought of something in return. To do it because it needs to be done. And we know. Not only does the scripture tell us, but we have proof that there are blessings for that in this life and in the life to come. Amen. So it truly is the best way to live. Eternal life is living for others. Eternal life is living for others. You know, the wonderful thing about this is that at some point in time, as the truth is being made known to you, as the Lord is revealing himself to you, you begin to realize that you are eternal life. You can't be given eternal life because that would mean that you had a beginning and now you're given eternal life so that you have no end. You have eternal life because you have no beginning. And you have no end. You were with him, in him, before the foundation of the world. And you'll be with him throughout eternity. It's just that you come face to face with that. And that gene seed is quickened down on the inside. And that eternal life then begins to live out through you. And you begin to find out, you know, that's who you really are. His character and his nature really is your character and your nature. That selfish part that we struggle with, that's this, and this is what we're overcoming, right? But it's not who you really are. How many just be honest here tonight and say, you know what? I have times when I'm embarrassed with myself because something will rise up within me and I'll want to be selfish. But I catch that and I realize it. And I think, but that's not me. I don't want to be that way. Right? That's not the real me. And so you don't give in to that. That's part of what we're overcoming. Each and every day, each and every step of this walk, it's getting this out of the way so eternal life can do the rest. So eternal life can live out in us and through us. We can get hurt. We can get wounded. And we can behave sometimes like there is no eternal life living in us because we're wounded and we withdraw. We get distrustful. We start reading things into things that we shouldn't read into. That life is still there. But we've allowed the flesh to get in the way. We've allowed the flesh to kind of take over. So the key is just to, as Brother Branham said, he said, wouldn't you like to just stay there? Wouldn't you just like to live there? Is to come into his presence. Let him love you. Let him minister to you. Then you'll have an abundance to minister to others. But you have to get your portion first. Does this make sense tonight? If we've got complexes, if you just bow your heads for a few moments. If we've got complexes and hang-ups, we need to get healed. We need to lay those things down willingly. God's not going to take it from us. We need to lay it down and let God heal us. Let God love us. Surrender and receive that love and start trusting again. Start believing again. Laying down the barriers and the walls. And that'll open the channel and allow that love to flow. Allow that life, that eternal life to flow, where you will just live for other people. But this is part of overcoming. If the messenger of the age had to overcome that, how about the rest of us? And maybe that isn't the thing for you, but maybe you grew up and you didn't have much. And so when you give something to somebody and they seem to not appreciate it, and it hurts you, and you think how much it meant to you, but that's something that you need to get over. That's something that you need to get beyond. That's something in your past. To allow the love of God to just flow. And with every head bowed, every eye closed, let's just speak to him for a moment. Father, we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, we truly do love you because you first loved us. And Lord, we've just the tip of the iceberg of what you've really done for us. We're recognizing and coming to contact with what you've done for us, but you've done so much more for us than we can even imagine. It's not even possible for us to fully take in this life, in this flesh, just how great your love is and how much you've done for us. But Lord, it surely is the medicine that we need. It surely is the cure for whatever ails us, whether it's spiritual, physical, emotional. It's a cure for low self-esteem. It's a cure for memories of injustice from our past. It's a cure for feeling like we're unappreciated or unloved. Lord, when we allow that love to just wash over us, when we open ourselves and just trust you and enter into that Shekinah glory, just allow you to have your way. Lord, it does something for us. And then that very same life can flow through us. And Lord, you can love others through us. In fact, Lord, the only way this gospel, this good news is going to be preached, the only way it's going to go to all the nations and be preached in power and demonstration and not just word only, is for that life to be in there, seeking to save that which is lost, reaching out, living for others, putting others first. Many times it means leaving our families, leaving our homes, making sacrifices, or for those that are a part of the home church, it means spending time, special time in prayer, praying for those that are sent. For others, it might be donating to the cause. Maybe others don't know about it, but just supporting it in whatever way, shape, or form that you put on our heart. It's a sacrifice for all of us. But eternal life will do that. And that's the only way that your work is going to get done. Your work will get done the way that it's always gotten done. Somebody surrendering, letting that life flow through them. Father, I pray that your healing power would flow through every crack and corner of this building tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, those that are listening in or those that will be listening in, I pray, Lord, that you'd heal our hearts, heal our spirits, Lord. That you'd help us to, Lord, to lay aside memories and feelings and experiences and let go and just trust you completely and allow that love to flow through us. Lord, it'll do exactly what you said it would do, and it'll exceed our expectations. But Lord, we limit you when we hold back, when we clog the channel because of history or how we've been treated or what we expect or doubt or whatever it might be. But Lord, you're the healer. And I believe, Lord, there's not a case that's too hard for you. So Father, as we bow our heads in prayer tonight, Lord, I'm just going to ask for those that are looking for that type of healing in the spirit realm, in the soul, that they just lift their hand to you and say, Lord, I just make me whole, Lord. I want to surrender. I want to live my life for others without thought. I want that life to just flow through me. But I need my portion. I need my healing. I need my deliverance. I need my help. And my help cometh from you. And I want to let you do that, Lord. I want to surrender. I want to let you just work through my life and just be my portion. And I want to lay aside those feelings that I'm unloved or neglected or unappreciated. I want to lay all that aside because it's not true. I am loved. I'm loved by you. I am appreciated. I'm appreciated by you. People do love me. I've just made myself a complex, and I'm running everything through that filter. But Lord, I want to lay that down. If that's you, just lift your hand to him tonight and say, Lord, just have your way. Father, I don't want to take this with me. I just want to surrender and let your love flow through me. And I want you to, Lord, to do for me what you've done for so many others. I want to get myself so out of the way. I must be healed in every way. My heart must be healed. My spirit must be healed in order for that to flow through me. And that's my desire. If that's you, just lift your hand to him. Father, just bless each and every heart, every hand that's lifted up, Lord. There's not a one of us that hasn't been backed up against the wall. There's not a one of us that hasn't suffered in some way where it's become so painful that we can't see past it. But Lord, when we bring these things to you, Lord, you can love these things off of us, and you are our portion. And Lord, you will bless us in this life and the life to come, and you will meet every need and will not be deprived in any way, shape, or form. But we've got to believe that. We've got to surrender and let you love us. And Lord, sometimes that's the hardest thing. It's the hardest thing to, and we see that reflected in our life when we won't let other brothers and sisters, family members, whatever, when we won't let other people do things for us. How is it that we're going to let an invisible God do things for us if we won't let visible people do things for us? And many times, Lord, you want to love us through someone else. Help us, Lord, to look at all of that, not worry about, not be suspicious, not wonder if it's a trap, but recognize that any good that comes our way, it comes from you, no matter what vessel. Even if it's a sinner, if there's some good coming through, it's you sending it. We just want to surrender, Lord, and just let you have your way and let you love us, Lord, so that then that love can flow out and you can love others. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? That's our sincere desire. Lord, we just want to be completely surrendered in your hands. But Lord, we must receive our portion first. And so we commit ourselves into your hands. I pray that your blessings would be upon each and every one. I pray that each and every one, Lord, would know just how valuable that they are in your sight and how much you care for them. Lord, the price that you paid for them, all that you've done, all that you're still doing, and all that you're going to do, Lord, that their life means something. Their life is, that they matter to you, Lord. May that just break through. May that just strike deep down in their soul. And Lord, may that love just project, we pray. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Blessed be his name. Hallelujah. I want to live the way he wants. Christ I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, to love till there's just no more love. I could never, never outlove the Lord. Amen. Can we choose a higher key? I want to live the way He wants me to live. Amen. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, to love till there's just no more love. For I could never, never outlove the Lord. Amen. And again, I want to live. I want to live.